Welcome to this special episode of DevOps Dimension. I'm Oğuz Pastırmacı, and today I'm joined by Jin Kim, the co-author of Phoenix Project and the upcoming DevOps Handbook, and Thiago Almeida, Senior Technical Evangelist at Microsoft. Welcome, guys.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And welcome to London for me as well. We are in DevOps Days London, and it's really nice to be here, you know, meet with people from all companies and speakers and presenters and talk with them. And of course, you have a session tomorrow. So let's start with that, if you like.
Yeah, I'll be talking about maybe my top five surprises on the DevOps journey. And a lot of it is really the things that I wish I had learned before the Phoenix Project came out in 2013. Yeah. And I think one of the themes is, I love these DevOps days because it really combines the development tribe and the operations tribe. And one of the things that I just love so much is this moment when I was at a conference in 2013. It was the Mountain West Ruby conference. Mm-hmm. It was all developers. It was this phenomenal conference. They invited the Ruby founder, Mats, to speak. And I remember this one talk where it was a professional services engineer from either Puppet or Chef, or he was he had the Eclipse IDE open in front of everyone. Now he was talking about test-driven development, but not for code, but for the correctness of environments. And it was just such a marvelous moment because he was an ops person using development tools, talking about development philosophy, about how operations fully integrates into development lifecycle. It was just what was so great was that, just if I had closed my eyes, that person could have been at Java 1 or at the Build conference 10 years ago. And it just really motivated my mind, this aha moment that whether you're dev or ops, we're all engineers, and increasingly we're all talking like developers. And I think that really is, 10 years from now, I think that's what we will all be like that.
Yeah. And I mean, the operations people, they feel like, what's happening? Yeah, the developers, like you said, are we going to turn into developers? What do you think about this? The operations role is, of course, evolving, changing. What do you see how the future will be for both the developers and the operation?
Yeah, I mean, I think increasingly so. One of the things that is so prevalent when we talk with high performers, whether it's a Netflix, an Amazon, a Microsoft, Google, whether it's an Etsy, or increasingly organizations like Capital One, like Raytheon, Target, Nordstrom, these large, complex organizations that are also adopting DevOps principles, one of the things they say all the time is, how do we maximize developer productivity, whether we're a developer, tester, ops person, or even InfoSec. The goal is to make developers as productive as possible, and I think that really is true, right? Whether it's making environments available on demand that are stable and secure, so a developer doesn't have to think about configuring servers, right? Or how do you make these environments available in the cloud with one right click away in Visual Studio? Or if from an information security perspective, how do we make sure that we can put those automated tests into the continuous deployment pipeline that's indistinguishable from the battery of unit tests or functional tests. Mm-hmm. And I think the goal is really help make it make the easiest way also the most stable and secure way. And I think that really our job is, whether we're in infrastructure or security, we all have our areas of expertise. But ultimately the goal is, help developers get code safely into production.
Mm-hmm. I've seen DevOps now being adopted quite a lot more inside the enterprise, and DevOps Days London here, they have a focus more on enterprise talks as well. Mm-hmm. How do you see it being adopted inside the enterprise?
Diego, that's a great question. I mean, that's been my area of fascination now for going on 3 years, which is not so much studying the unicorns like Microsoft and Google and Amazon, but really the horses, large, complex organizations that have been around for decades or even centuries. And that's the reason why I've been holding the DevOps Enterprise Summit.
Right.
Previously, for the last 2 years, I've been in San Francisco, and we're having one here in London on June 30th and July 1st. And I guess the three biggest surprises for me, one is that these large, complex organizations are getting the same outcomes that we've typically only associated with the unicorns. High deployment frequencies, short lead times, fantastic deployment outcomes, but doing it with things that we typically wouldn't associate with DevOps, like 40-year-old COBOL mainframe applications or ground control stations for satellites and legacy applications that have been around for decades. I guess the second thing that is surprising for me was just that each one of these stories, whether it's a Disney or a Raytheon or a HMRC or UK.gov, is that the people driving these transformations they were all given some degree of air cover and permission by upper management, but I think every one of them wildly exceeded the permission that they were given. You know, it's putting themselves in some degree of personal jeopardy. And
right. Yeah, I think courageous, yeah.
Yeah, courageous, right? And some amount of guile, right? And sophistication. And I think when you ask the question, why would they do that? I think it's because that they all shared a sense of clarity and conviction that these capabilities they were creating for their organization were needed in order to survive in the marketplace, or even, certainly to win in the marketplace. Mm. And so, they're just phenomenal stories, and I think as worthy, or maybe even more worthy than any story from a unicorn. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we're usually seeing is the developer teams, the IT teams, InfoSec, they realize DevOps is making their life easier, but unless they have support from the management, their hands are somehow tight. They need to be, bold to get with projects and something. So what do you think about this bottom-to-up philosophy? So should it be coming from the management? And, of course, the collaboration should be there. But what happens if the management doesn't have the vision same as the developer and IT teams?
Yeah, one of the big surprises for me was looking at the titles of the people presenting at DevOps Enterprise. The top titles in year one was Director of Operations, followed by Chief Architect, followed by Director of Development. I think that's interesting for a variety of reasons. One is, the notion it often is that it's not being driven by development teams. It was really a visionary ops person saying that there's something fundamentally broken about the way we are working with the rest of the organization. I think the other surprise to me was that the titles, right? They're second or third line managers. And I think what they have in common is that they have both a business perspective as well as they're close enough to the technical work to know, what the work should look like. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's that seems to be a magical combination of the person who sees that there's a problem, has enough authority where they can change how they work, at least in their area of influence. Mm-hmm. And we found that 30% of all DevOps Enterprise speakers have been promoted over the last 2 years. Oh. So, I think reflecting the value that they're creating for their organization, they're all being elevated. Essentially, I think what the organizations are saying is that you've created value, you have the long-term interests of the organization at heart, and now your job is not to create value in one area, is how do you elevate the state of the practice, across the entire organization, which is, I think, so exciting.
Mm-hmm. So just to repeat, you said 30% of the speakers got promoted.
Have been promoted. Some more than twice. Some more than once, right?
So if anyone viewing this recording asks, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How do you see the future of DevOps? So for a company that has established some pretty good DevOps practices, cultural changes, and have continuous delivery and a few other things already implemented, what areas do you see them doing after that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is I don't know, which is the reason why we've been actually tracking, certain groups over time. In fact, for 2 years now, we've had the team from Target and Nordstrom and Capital One present, just as so we can see how their journey progresses, which is something that's been, an incredible, I'm very grateful to be able to, have front row seats to that. But my observation is that increasingly they're being elevated to, with the charter of maximizing adoption, across the organization. Right. So these are organizations that have thousands of engineers, as defined by dev, test, operations, and InfoSec, and enabling teams to be as productive as if they were at a Microsoft or a Google or an Amazon.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah, and we are, one of the financial centers of the world in London. One interesting fact in one of your interviews before was a finding, I think it was a finding with the State of the DevOps report.
Yes.
You've done with Puppet Labs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was even the market value performance, the stock performance of the companies who are adopting DevOps practices, principles, are higher compared to the ones who don't. So it's really interesting. So at even the business part of the companies, they ask, what's in it for us? It's not just like a technical, you know, culture level benefiting the teams. It's also the business itself is being more profitable than before.
Absolutely. In fact, I actually think it's a preposterous finding, right? It almost defies belief. And specifically the finding is that high performers, they have better, not just IT performance, as measured by code deployment lead times, deployment frequency, change success rate, mean time to repair. Those are all technical metrics. But they have better business performance as well. They have, they're twice as likely to exceed profitability, market share and productivity goals, and they had 50% higher stock share price performance over 3 years. And what I love about that finding is that it really defies belief that how a development person or group does their daily work, or how a server administrator does their daily work, how could that be visible in profitability, let alone share price? And yet, you know, if we believe that how every organization acquires customers these days and delivers value to them is, you know, dependent on the work as we as technologists do, then maybe being 200 times faster than our competitors, you know, will create decisive winners and losers in the marketplace. And I find that to be incredibly believable. And so, you know, we were just talking about David Tassar's story about learning in the mobile space and so forth. I mean, name one organization that isn't dependent upon mobile applications to reach customers. Yeah. That is as relevant to winning in the marketplace for a bank as it is for Microsoft. And that's, I find, utterly believable and incredibly satisfying.
Yeah. So what would be the resources you would recommend for someone who wants to learn more about DevOps or even, you know, invest more time in DevOps?
Yeah. One study I would recommend is the State of DevOps report that I've worked on with Jez Humble and Dr. Nicole Forsgren and Puppet Labs. We're going into our fourth year. Actually, it's the fifth year of the study, but my fourth year of my involvement in it. And then I would recommend, in fact, the DevOps Handbook is coming out soon. But there's also so many books on this. Continuous Delivery by Jez Humble, which is a famous, and David Farley, as well as another one of Jez's books, Lean Enterprise, is also fantastic. And actually, one of my favorites is written by Gary Groover. It's called Large Scale Agile, and it describes his journey when he was managing 800 engineers in the HP LaserJet firmware project, and how he reduced the lead time to go from code committed by a developer to a shippable state from 9 months down to a day for firmware. So it's just
that's an improvement.
It's an amazing story, and it just says if you can do it for HP LaserJet firmware, you know, it really can be done for anything.
And it's HP, and it's not a unicorn company.
It's a large enterprise. Exactly.
Really a large enterprise.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much for your time, Gene. We were really happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.
Yeah, and look out for our other interviews as well. We're interviewing others, the presenters from here and from DevOps Days London. And we also have an interview that we've done already with the Puppet Labs as well to talk about that report. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Great.
Thank you,
Gene. Yes.
Thanks.